The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Good Friday once again. Football, football, football. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer, live from Bar Canada here at the D. How you doing?
Doing just great, my man. How are you?
Divisional round, man.
Let's go.
Not quite as awesome as wild card round, but almost as awesome.
Almost. We've got, I think, professional field hockey on behind us as well. Big day at the D up at Bar Canada.
Yeah.
A lot going on up here.
You got like 10 dimes on that field hockey?
Well, of course, yeah. I didn't know they played on a blue field.
I don't know what the screen you're talking about. Well, we'll get updates on field hockey throughout the morning, too, from Kelly. It is all about football, including a little global football from Paul Carr a little later on, if you want some Premier League action, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the NFL. Matt Brown will join us to talk all four division round games, and Jason Weingarten will check in as well. We got props for the weekend to discuss, and we'll get into our picks, Kelly and mine, here early, and we'll do it as a reminder late, but we'll get into it momentarily. First, though, because I am contractually obligated to do so. An Australian Open update. It's not from Adelaide. It's from Melbourne. We went 1-2. Again, my picks are at VSiN.com/picks. Every show host, every guest on the network with all of their picks in every sport at VSiN.com/picks. My Australian Open tennis picks always go up at some point after this show. Again, with the time zone difference, I won't have them for that day's coming matches on the show here on a numbers game itself. I'll handicap it after the show. Yesterday, Kelly, and this is the beauty of it, 1-2. And a nice winning day. Why?
Nice.
Nice is right. Nice.
Would you have like a plus 310 or something?
How about a plus 334, my friend?
Hey, even better.
Maria Timofeva. She got it done against Beatriz Haddad-Maia from Brazil. You know those two, don't you?
Obviously, yes.
Maria Timofeva, who's a qualifier. She gets the round of 16. She did it as a plus 334 dog. The numbers, I thought, triggered a big play there, and so it did work out. By the way, we lost the other two, which were also dogs. We should have gone 3-0. The first one was Tomas Makash, who was 2 of 19 on break points. It's like backing a baseball team where they go 2 of 19 with runners in scoring position. So we lose that one.
Come on, Tomas, get it together.
And then Anastasia Zakharova. I have no idea how she lost to Magdalena Frick. But anyway, we get the winning day nonetheless with the big 334 dog coming through. And so
how often do qualifiers make it that far?
In slams.
We're round of 16 now? Is that what you just said?
We're halfway through the third round, so after today, we will have the rounds of 16 set in both sides.
But she qualified for round of 16?
She is already through the round of 16, yes.
How many qualifiers do we usually see get to the round of 16?
Not very frequently.
Okay.
And of course, the biggest greatest example of that was Emma Raducanu winning the U.S. Open as a qualifier a few years back.
She was a qualifier?
Was a quali. Yeah. It's never happened before. May never happen again. It was just this remarkable run where she just destroyed everybody in her wake.
But you were high on her that tournament,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
We hit on her all the time.
Is this just a dumb tennis rankings thing? Like kind of like golf, like world golf rankings or
no? No, it's just that if you're playing, if you're not used to playing on the main tour, if you haven't played on the main tour in the way that others have, you haven't accumulated points. You've got to qualify to make the field. So you've got to win a few matches to even make the field. And then once you're in that, nobody expects you because your level of competition is so much higher than you're used to playing.
Gotcha.
That's how I knew about Iga in advance. That's how you know about these players in advance. Their numbers on the lower tours are so massive that it can translate even when their competition raises.
Gotcha. Okay.
So anyway, good night for us. Night before was great too. We'll get all the picks at VSiN.com/picks. And just from a macro standpoint, Djokovic into the round of 16. Tough wrist injury and tough cold he's experiencing. He just destroyed Tomas Martin Echeverry.
It's irritating me though, Gil, because I haven't made my usual Novak bet yet still because of it.
He's ridiculous.
Now I'm what is now the time? Are we thinking all good, all clear?
No, not all clear. Alcaraz is still there. Sinner's still there.
I'm talking about his wrist and his cold.
I think that part's clear.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine if I go down to Carlito, but no.
Nobody of real import has gotten upset on the men's side, in my opinion. And then on the women's side, 6 of the top 10 are gone.
I had to laugh when I was typing these up this morning because of the Reggie celebration we got for a win yesterday. And then you're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're 10-1, 13-1 now, actually.
It's gone back, yeah. And then on the women's side, we're, again, halfway through the third round. Iga plays her third round game tonight. It's midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. So in the dead of the night against Linda Noskova, this of her 7-match gauntlet ought to be the easiest of the bunch. That's how I would have handicapped it before and did so before this tournament started. So Iga in action tonight. Coco through, Aryna Sabalenka through, and Mira Andreeva with an amazing comeback in the third set. For those who had her last night, she was down 5-1 in that final set. So that's where all that stands. Football. All right, Kelly, here's what I have in pocket, and I end up with a play on every game.
Yeah.
As it turns out, if you listen to the Megapod, you heard 2 of them, Beating the Book Megapod, again with Drew Dinsick this week. But here's what I have in pocket. I have in game, we'll do these chronologically. Tomorrow in the early Houston Texans Memorial early Saturday window, I've got the Ravens in the first half. I laid the points with the Ravens in the first half. This is a sort of nod to how the Ravens came out against the Lions, how they smoked the Seahawks early, how they smoked the Dolphins early, smoked the Browns early, smoked the Bengals early. I'm just trying to riff off all of these. They crushed really good competition, and they punched him in the mouth early. So I took the Ravens minus 6.5 in the first half. Could I have done the full game? Yes, because this weekend harkens back, in my opinion, to those of us of a certain age. This feels like the 80s and 90s of Niners and Cowboys and Giants and Skins, where the cream of the crop, Bears in their year, the cream of the crop rises. And I think the Ravens and Niners both do. I just happened to take the Ravens in the first half in that ball game. I think they assert themselves here. And I feel the same about the Niners, but I took the Niners, laid the 9.5 for the game. I think the Niners score at will this weekend against the Packers. And I do think, and I've been as bullish on Jordan Love as anybody, good Lord, I've given that clipboard speech a million times on this show, but I do think that asking him to keep up with this juggernaut of an offense is too much of a task, and I think the Niners defense will be up to it. And so I think you're going to see the Ravens roll, and I think you're going to see the Niners roll. And by the way, for those who love upsets and stuff, I don't at this time of year. I want to see the best advance to the Super Bowl, and I think both of them do. Am I talking through my bets? No, I don't think I am. I think both teams are going to roll, even if I didn't have bets on the Niners and Ravens to get there. And for those who are like, hey, wait a minute, Lamar Jackson has only won one postseason game. Brock Purdy, we've seen him have bad performances in the biggest of situations. Let's put it this way. Even to that crowd, I would say, not this week. That ain't going to happen this week. Sunday, I did take the Lions minus 6. I think the Bucks are the worst of the bunch of this group of 8. I think the Lions do enough to get it done. With the one caveat, Kelly, of if Dan Campbell doesn't make a bad high leverage situation that destroys that bet. And then in the end, I took the Chiefs plus 3, minus 123. I took the Chiefs. I didn't think I would have a play in this game. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the Bills are too banged up. And it's Patrick Mahomes. And I couldn't see myself not having a position on the best player in football plus points. And I don't know if you know this, on the road for the first time in the postseason.
No, what?
No, I don't know. This is the only show that's got that information.
Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game?
I don't know if you're aware of this. Do you also know this thing about Mike Tomlin I'm just hearing about? What do you have?
All right, here's what I've got. I've got nothing currently in the first game. Like you, there was one game that I didn't have anything in yet. But there's only one way I'd go with that. It would be some kind of Texans bet of some kind. I don't know. I'm not as confident in you as Lamar is going to come out and wreck. And this CJ Stroud just can't be held back. But I got nothing in that for now. I'm skipping that. I might just be watching that out of pure entertainment. So starting later that night, I did Packers 49ers over 50. Really like that bet. And then we talked about this. I also did the team total on the Niners. Do like the Niners side a little bit more.
I think I'm going to have that by game time.
I played more on the actual game total, though. I do think the Packers offense is going to be able to come out here and still move the ball a little bit. So it did more on the game total. Split this like 70-30 between game total and team total over on the Niners. I think if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have been heavier on the team total than the game total. But Packers were impressive last week. I had my doubts about that offense coming in there and being able to put up big numbers like they did, and they absolutely did against Dallas.
By the way, real quick, not to interrupt, early game in Baltimore, wind about 15 miles per hour, which is right teetering on when it matters and doesn't matter, quite frankly. And then in San Francisco, rain, but no problem with the wind.
Did you check on that this morning?
Yes.
I thought we were starting to trend a little better for Santa Clara.
I checked on it this morning. Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I did San Francisco. I didn't do Santa Clara.
So you're right. Jeez, Gil, come on.
Bay Area guy. I made that mistake. I apologize.
Okay, then my other two. I'm with you on the Lions. That was a small bet for me. I was also able to catch on 5.5 in an opener. So I got in small there. I was happy getting in. I will not be adding to that position. I think that there are still some concerns in my mind, just kind of that we've voiced all season long about the Lions. And yes, I don't know if that secondary is going to be able to, how easily are they going to be able to slow down the Bucs passing attack, which obviously last week was looking quite good. So I'm in on that side. And then I'm on the Bills too. I did lay the 2.5. So you and I will be Oppo. Don't feel, great about going up against Patrick Mahomes catching 3 points. It feels like one of those silly bets, but it feels like it also feels like one of those bets that I really like. This Bills defense, it's been better and better. I know they suffered some injuries in last week's game. That might hurt them a little bit this week, but Josh Allen playing great, this defense playing great. Bring it on, Patty Mahomes. Prove it to him.
He's got to prove it to
you. He's never done it on the road.
If the Chiefs win, can we get at least 30 seconds from you on Monday just killing yourself about it?
Yes, absolutely.
Matt Brown with all his takes on the divisional round. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. It's Gil Alexander. Oh, we get tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from the Milk Gallon. Nothing like starting a Friday with a +330 dog. You the man. Ah, man, we're all pumped about Maria Timofeva. Cricket Man. Coco is coasting. Medvedev working overtime. Is there any edge, good or bad, from this? In the case of Medvedev, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, he played till 3:30, 3:40 in the morning. He's like the one guy that I don't think gets affected by that kind of stuff. Like, it's not how his brain or his body works. I think he'll be all right. If he loses, it's not because of that. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. Snow day in D.C. means staying at home and taking in a numbers game. Thank you, Tim. Always appreciate that. And the Megapod historian, that is Tim Lawson, by the way. He's got all the Megapod stats. Mike Zills, Duke 90, says, love you, Gilly. He did a parlay. He did Sinner, Djokovic, Goff, and Timofeva, which was the big parlay booster there. You got it, man. Congratulations.
One pending, right? He's got to get Alcaraz home, I believe.
Oh, does he have one pending?
Looking at the same
one? I didn't click on it. Yeah, he's got Alcaraz pending.
But that's a nice...
He should be aight.
Nice $200 bet to win $1,200.
Yeah. Charlie D, USA number one, says Patrick Mahomes not fond of Kelly's prove it comment. We got emojis. And then, here comes the snake. Bobby Knuckles, snakes. B's bets. Hearing Matt Brown telling Kelly's story on a numbers game with Gil has me crying first thing this morning. Ryan Thompson, Kelly Bidlin's future screenplay, Snakes on a Plane, An Erotic Journey. and Jason Schomburg is a good point. Now we need to know how Kelly would have answered the question that was asked.
I don't even know what the real answer was. No, A, I'm not answering that on this show. That was more appropriate for the other show. So, yeah, but I don't... Matt, I was so blinded in the moment, I don't even really know what his actual question was.
Deepest, darkest fantasy?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing, Gil, after I turned over to Matt, we had that little interaction, like Matt said, when I turned back to the guy, he was already gone. Like yeah. it was like,
I gotta get out. I gotta save this somehow. I need to talk to someone else.
He's like, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. I didn't sign up for this gig.
He's like, I don't have a snappy retort for that. Like I thought, like anything anyone says, like I had something in my head. And he's like, snakes. I gotta get out of here.
Nate Goggins, is it safe to say snakes on a plane is like everyone else watching 50 Shades of Grey for Kelly?
Oh, it's so good.
And one more, Jason Starr, K. Kelly, my deepest fear is snakes too. So much so that when I first was dating my wife, my father and brother put a fake snake in our tent and she sent me in to get something. I thought it was real and blamed her. It nearly cost me my future wife. I think he took that seriously. Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah. I appreciate it. I don't like snakes either.
Kelly's fantasy plus fear of heights equals snakes on a plane. Everybody's got snakes jokes now. Nemesis Enforcer, finally. Am I the only one who thinks CJ is being overhyped? Oh, wait a minute. He says he throws downfield to wide receiver with yards of separation. Talking to my bro, said it reminded me of RG3's rookie season without the threat he would run to draw coverage in. Looked up stats, and RG3 had a 20-touchdown, 5-interception season. First of all, Nemesis, there will be no slander of RG3's rookie year. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I like that he's trying to compare a rookie of the year performance to RG3. Gil still thinks it as slander.
No. But he was saying RG3 had wide open receiver. RG3 was unbelievable that year. But he's right. RG3, we actually compared CJ Stroud stats to RG3's a few weeks ago. RG3s are kind of better because you have like 700 more rushing yards. And he scored a lot on the ground. But there is some, I understand what he's saying though. CJ Stroud has not played great defenses as a group. So that is I think that's a very fair assessment of Stroud. Otherwise, though, I mean, you can only play who's in front of him, right? Great season, and he deserves to be the rookie of the year.
I'm pumped for that game. I have no idea. Any result in that game, I don't think I'd be shocked by.
All right, Matt, the late game on Saturday. Packers, Niners, Niners favored by 10 in this one.
Yeah, I took the 10 with the Packers. For me, I think there's a couple of different things at play here in all this, and I can't deny it, and it's wild how good Jordan Love has gotten over the last eight, nine games of the season. It's been just unbelievable, and the fact that he's doing it with mostly backups is also the thing that's just crazy to me. Watson played last week, had one target. Like, he got all that done with everybody else, and it doesn't matter. The thing that I've started to see in Love, and you can see this also in just his distribution and the way that he's gone about it, is I think the evolution of him becoming a better quarterback is he doesn't lock in on a dude. It's kind of like, okay, this is the Dobbs week. This is the Wicks week. This is the whatever, you know, like he's just going around giving the ball to anybody that's open. And, you know, Watson comes back last week. Like I said, get one target. His number one target came back in. He wasn't 100%. He didn't force feed the guy. I know that you talked about the Cooper Kupp stuff, but I mean, the guy comes back off injury, and a lot of younger quarterbacks would have looked and said, like, well, I got to get my guy back in. You know, whatever. We got to get him. One target, you know, in the game. Instead, he went with the guys that were open. And
he's fantastic.
And Love
he's
has just
awesome.
Been awesome. He's just been ridiculously good over this. And so, are the 49ers a better team? Obviously, the 49ers are a better team. Yes. But do we think that the Packers are really all of a sudden just going to lose what they can do on the offensive side of the ball? My answer is no, which also has me on the over of 50 in this game. Which hasn't really moved my direction that much. Was it 50 and a half now or whatever? So, yeah, I mean, it's basically the same as when I got it.
Do you think that's just the rain or the threat of rain and weather or whatever that might be? Because I'm on the over, too, and I expected it to go up a couple points.
I expected it to go up as well, which is like it opened at 50 over at Circa, and I hit the 50 as soon as I could because I thought this thing would go on the other side of 51, and it hasn't. Now, look, there's still time, but I thought it would already move by now. The efficiency of the Packers offense has been so incredibly good. And then the thing that we've talked about for the last few weeks on this show, the last stretch down the season, is as great as the 49ers offense has been, the defense has been league average, which is good, which is fine. When you are the number one, number two offense in the league, you can win basically every game you play if you have a league average defense. But that doesn't mean that these teams like the Packers that are coming in riding an incredible heater, getting awesome play calls, that are reading these defenses like left and right. I mean, it's I don't think that means that they can't score. And I understand that the 49ers offense can kind of do whatever they want to in the threat here of it not getting over to me is the 49ers getting a big lead and then McCaffrey just running over and over and over right. and over again. Like that's the, there is a threat to the over, which would be the Packers getting in a game state in which there is, you know, that the 49ers could just kind of take the air out of the ball. Right. And like, so I'm minimally concerned about that. And you should be in a 10-point spread game, right? That the team that's favored by 10 gets in a really favorable situation. But yeah, I'm,
you took the 10. I laid the 9.5 with the Niners. So we're oppo there, but it is just as many 9.5s as 10s exist currently at this moment. And you also are on the over and that, in addition to your Packers bet. Let me ask you another thing. Steve Fezzik, friend of show, friend of network, has been, for those of us who are sort of texting back and forth for the whole week, he had a great point earlier in the week. I want to say Will did too on this, but Fez has definitely been talking about this, which is, and I made a small bet. I didn't even include it in my preflops, but I made a small bet on this first quarter of this game. Matt LaFleur has shown a propensity here of late to take the football. He wants it first. Did so famously, obviously, last week as well. Kyle Shanahan defers. Green Bay first quarter is +3 with a little extra juice, like -125. And you can see it actually ticking upwards on this. Did you play any of that at all?
No, but that's a pretty good point to bring out from just also those, any of those first touchdown bets too, right? Like any of the first touchdown bets, like if you wanted to kind of load up on a lot of Packers, and they're probably all going to be fairly good numbers on those guys because they spread it around so much. Like, so there's no like McCaffrey that's going to be minus, you know, literally minus money or something, you know, like there's nobody on that team that's like that. So it's probably decent little numbers on all that. I will say this.
That's a great point.
This first team to score prop, right? Yeah. There's usually that. Props usually up most places.
This Green Bay offense, man, I cannot believe what I've seen for the last two months. Like it has been unbelievable how they've been able to go out there and basically do. Now you get Aaron Jones back. We got to remember he was gone for a stretch, and like that guy's pretty important to that team. I know we're in the running backs don't matter era of football, but like the guy's pretty important to that team, and he comes back in there, and no shock that they look like an even better offense than they were whenever they were relying on AJ Dillon, who. Fine. He's fine. He's not Aaron Jones.
I believe it's 111 yards rushing or more in the past 5 weeks for Aaron Jones. Like he is back in a big way. I agree with you. We trash running backs all the time. He is one of those that matters to an offense.
First thing, AJ Dillon, leaflet. Just want to point that out. And secondly, I just want to bring up the Fezzik thing again, because I think regardless of what you are pre-flop, whichever side you're on, that is about as good of an angle of anything in any game this weekend, because you don't often now have a coach, right? All these guys know to defer these days. But in the case of Matt LaFleur, who has done a bang up job in Green Bay, he realizes it's like, now let me get my guy out there first and try to establish a lead rather than, you know, have to chase a team like San Francisco.
And I think he's smart enough in games where they are, you know, big underdogs. He understands, don't want to, like, get behind, like, right off the bat.
Yeah. So good point by you also. Like, first touchdowns, anything you can sort of play in that direction might be the play of the weekend. We'll get to the Sunday games. Matt's got one bet on the Bucks and the Lions. He's got two on the big one at the end. Or no, he's got one on each. My mistake. One on each of these. That's next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, check out the new vsin.com. We have a fresh new look, enhanced navigation, and a mobile-first focus. Time is money in sports betting, and the site's pages have been built to load quickly. We have also expanded our educational content and strategy sections. For both new and experienced bettors, check out the new vsin.com today. If you have any questions about the sunsetting of the VSIN app, because I know you do have some out there, please go to vsin.com/FAQ. vsin.com/FAQ for all the frequently asked questions about that.
Yeah, I've been retweeting a bunch of stuff too. I know Mitch has been doing a great job with it, of just kind of little tips that people have for things that I don't know about a damn iPhone, like you probably too, where you can set a web page as basically an app icon on your home screen.
First of all, how dare you? Secondly, you're absolutely right.
Like, I had no idea you could do that, but then you could basically just set it up however, like you had the old VSIN app, just put up wherever you want on your own page and then pull it up. I also did go to the brand new VSIN.com a little while ago, and yes, Adam Burke does have an article up there on Reba back.
Adam Burke. First of all, Adam Burke, stay in your lane. That's my, no, that is good for you, because he is all on top of it.
Yes.
Like, doing a Reba deep dive.
Like, I don't know that anybody has a number posted yet. Have you seen anything?
No, but if he's already doing his research, that's the way to do it. Like, find Reba performances of the national anthem, time it out, and then bet accordingly.
Guessing lines.
He's doing more than guessing.
Right, I know.
He's diving in. Reba. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Very well. Happy division round week to you and yours. Any post office stories you wanted to share with us real quick? Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing exciting. Gotta go today, drop off some packages, but nothing really exciting this week.
Have you ever shared on this show why you are at the post office so often? Would you care to share or not?
No, not really.
Okay,
but leave some mystery.
Yeah, there it is. Let's leave a little mystery in his life. All right, Jason Weingarten, always at the post office. All right, remind folks what you bet this weekend in the NFL.
The Packers. Don't have my Packers Hawaiian shirt on today, but that's my my play this week, +9.5 in the money line. If they don't cover the 9.5, I'm fine. Like, I'll just accept it, you know? But I really think we're going to get a close game here, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers win. Like I said, last time I was on, I think you could probably make the argument, at least with the recency bias, that the Packers are coming in here with the better quarterback. So, I don't know. It's going to be an exciting game, at least till the 49ers ruin my day.
Before the 49ers inevitably ruin your day. I like Jason is laid back, got his mind on his money and his money on his mind.
Yeah, seriously. Try not to relax too much.
Yeah, geez. Wow.
I found out, I saw a picture on Twitter of the Taliban. I have the same chair that they do in their office. Do you believe that?
Okay.
All right. It's random, but okay. All right.
We're both rocking Herman Miller Arians. I was kind of surprised to see that on Twitter.
Anybody have Jason having the same chair as the Taliban on their bingo card?
Did
today?
Not have that on the bingo card. Today.
It's a nice chair too. I was actually surprised. I mean, I valued the chair anyway.
Anyway, he says even Jason knew to move on. Anyway, what else besides the Packers did you get?
Ravens. I think the Texans run ends here on the other side of taking a big spread. I'm laying a big spread with the Ravens here. If the Texans keep this close, you know, good for them. It's been a pretty crazy run for them, but I think their run kind of ends this week versus the Ravens.
Yeah, I feel that way about both. I know you're a Packers guy. I feel that way about both the Texans and the Packers. And I'll say it again. I know that's not what a lot of people want to see. A lot of people are always anti-chalk. But this really does feel like, to me, you know, about the old NFL that we grew up on, where the dominant teams really assert themselves division round. They've got the extra rest, and it just feels like a Saturday of football like that. I could be wrong.
Well, the difference is we used to have the dual bye, and now we only have the single.
Yeah. And so it's even that much more of an advantage for those number one seeds. Okay. Anything on Sunday?
Yeah, I had to take Kansas City. Initially, I really liked Buffalo, but I think the injuries are kind of catching up to them. And, you know, I was wrong to bet on the Steelers, but they really played themselves out of that game early with turnovers. And I don't think they really ever had a chance, even though the guys with the good hair, you know, both told you to bet on the money line. But I don't know. I think they really played themselves out of the game. Buffalo won. They won pretty easily. I think, like I said, this is kind of one of those situations where we're going to look back on it and be like, oh man, the Chiefs were underdogs. You know, that's crazy. So give me the Chiefs. Give me the dog. If I'm wrong, I'm happy to be wrong here.
I feel like I can't leave this hanging. The guys with the good hair would be Drew Dinsick. And who was the other one?
Me
and you. Okay, that's what I was wondering what you're saying. I was like,
who else has the good hair?
Yeah. Sorry, Jason. I did apologize. Didn't mean to not include you in that. Okay, and then nothing on Detroit and Tampa. You didn't touch that.
I kind of like the Bucks. I just, like I said, you could be handing Jared Goff the Lombardi Trophy, and I'll still be telling you I don't believe in him. So I'm not changing my story now. But the Lions look good. I do have to admit they're trouble. And if if the 49ers do get by the Packers this weekend, then I think it's going to be a good game. If the Lions 49ers is the NFC championship game, I think that'll be a really good football game.
Anything besides the NFL that you're betting currently?
We got the golf this weekend, got my eye on a couple of things. You know, Rose Zhang is back in play. I think she's like 3 shots off the lead right now, top 7 or something. Got a little bit of money on her. Not much money on the other tournaments this week. You guys had Keegan Bradley last week in the Hawaii.
Jason, the
Sony.
So we haven't talked about it for an hour.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this on air. Can you care to, for everybody who doesn't know what this, the context of this is?
Yeah, I had Russell Henley. I had Keegan Bradley. I even had a piece of Benny on, Jason, that I got in on final round. So I had him like 5-1. I had Henley pre-flop at 22-1. I had Keegan entering round 3. I got him at 18-1. Jason, what would you say the percentage chance of me not getting home with one of those three guys was?
100.
So you had the lead situation.
It was incredible.
Wait, you had the leaderboard surrounded.
Except for Grayson Murray, who kept spraying it right off the tee on 18 and would recover with some amazing approach shot. What was it, like 3 feet from the pin, Jason, to put himself in the playoff, and then drills a 38 footer for birdie in the playoff. Ben Ann has like 10 feet for 10 feet for bird. What was it? Eagle? Was it 10 feet for eagle?
He was 20-1 live before the 18th hole, and then in the playoff he hits that 38-foot putt. And you know, as soon as he hits that, that Benny Ann's not gonna hit his gimme, and that was that.
He had two putts, couldn't make it.
Welcome back, golf.
Exactly. Welcome back. It was exactly.
Yeah, it's.
Hawaii is becoming a nightmare for me.
You had this happen last year.
Last year it was Morikawa run down by Rom in the Century tournament. I can't tell if it's this early in the golf season, Jason, that I'm overreacting, but it feels like two of the worst golf beats I've had in years are back to back years in Hawaii.
Did you go? That's it. No more bets in Hawaii.
The Morikawa one was historical.
Yeah,
I mean, like literally historical.
Yeah. I felt that way with like a tennis bad beach. It's like, oh, welcome back, tennis. Yeah, you are. I forgot about this part.
Feels good to be back. Like that first spring training.
That's right. Off. Your first bullpen implosion. Totally. Have you made any baseball bets yet, Jason? Anything?
I've looked at a couple things. You know, the markets aren't super firm right now. Like, and anything that opens up, if there's a big number, you know, like there was one number when Caesars opened Rookie of the Year. I wanted to bet and didn't even last like 2 hours before someone else bet it. And, you know, no, not upset about it or anything, but it's just this time of year, you can't really rush to bet stuff when you know it's a very long season. I really don't even jump back in until after the Super Bowl. There's so much football to pay attention to right now.
Oh, I know. So, someone was asking me about the NBA the other day. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't. I know Kelly and JVT and guys bet the NBA, but I'm like, there's too much. Between football and tennis, I can't even begin.
I did bet an NBA game last night, and I was thinking to myself, I do love betting the NBA. It does not love me back, but I do love betting the NBA still.
Last thing about the baseball, though, because you had said you had made a resolution you wanted to bet less, was it in season than before, or less pre-flop than before? Which one won? But
less in-season futures.
How did that work out? You will do even less again?
It really depends. You know, you got to take it year by year in context with the classes and the different markets. And,
right.
You know, I'll keep an open mind, but I did a better job last year of, you know, not piling on stuff.
I read that as you're going to fire away big time this year. That's how I read that. Jason, always appreciate it, man.
I would not disagree with that.
Good luck this weekend, man.
Have a good weekend. Talk to you guys next week.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. We'll come back, more NFL and Premier League next.